Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
We will have that available. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verse number 34. Praise God. Ooh, I could just end now. I'd be okay. That worship time, man. Ooh. Matthew 13, 34 says, "And all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world." In the in another translation, the Bible in Basic English says this, "I will give knowledge of things kept secret from before all time." The Living Bible says, "I will explain mysteries hidden since the beginning of time." And then in the Message it says, "I will bring out into the open things hidden since the world's first day." And so Jesus knew things before we were ever around, before the world was ever around. And when he came, he revealed those things to us. Do you realize that the spirit world is more real than the natural world? Do you realize that right now the atmosphere around us is charged with angels? There are demons around, but don't worry, there are twice as many angels as there are demons. You know, like I heard the preacher say years ago, he said, some people think there's a devil behind every bush. And he said, if there are, there are two angels holding him down. In other words, the spirit world is real. This is why we don't fear death. Why? Because we've already been delivered from it. I've already passed from death unto life. It's already done. The part of me that doesn't like it is the flesh, but I'm not a flesh. I said, I'm not a flesh. I'm a spirit. And so we need to understand spiritual truths. And as we do, and as we look at these things that God has said to us, it helps us get our mind into a place of spirituality. Do you know that the Lord said, it is good to be spiritually minded? You are to set your mind on things above. You're to actually be unseen minded as a Christian. That's what you are. I know most people, when they get in, they're like, I don't want to go to hell, so I'd rather go to heaven, so I'll receive Jesus. And that's a good entry point, because that's the entry point. But it's just the entry point. As you grow in your relationship with the Lord, you should be more and more and more aware of the supernatural. You should be more and more and more aware of the Father. Brother Hagin used to say to us, he'd say, he would drive down the road, and he did this for years, while he was driving from meeting to meeting, he'd say, the Father God is more real to me than this car. And he would confess this over and over. The Father God is more real to me than my wife. The Father God is more real to me than my kids. And he would say this over and over until one day the Father God was more real than anything else. And when God is more real to you than your circumstance or your situation, your faith level goes up and your problem level goes down. And so Jesus came and he expressed the Father and he expressed truths. Go over to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. We're in the parable of the talents, and I'm going to read through these and I'm going to move along here quickly. So just keep up with me. If you want to take notes, you can always go back and listen when we post it online. If I go too fast. Matthew 25, verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country." This is a truth that's been around from before the foundation of the world, and Jesus is sharing it. "Who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." And we talked about how God doesn't deliver bads, he delivers goods. "And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each one according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey." We talked about the fact that that word ability means dunamis. It means power. You have been gifted according to your strengths. Not your strengths naturally, your God-given strengths. Now your God-given strengths can manifest and do manifest naturally. But it is God who gave you the strength to do it, okay? Does that make sense? Just because your flesh is influenced by sin doesn't mean it was created by sin. Do we need to say that again? Just because your flesh is influenced by sin, it was not created by... Your flesh is not the devil. God made your flesh, did he not? Okay. All right. So that word has been working from the beginning when he said, let us make man. That was billions of, I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Adam and Eve start, what's inside of Adam and Eve? The flesh of all mankind. Okay? So you got to think about it in terms of that. Even in the scientific world, the original cells, male and female, are called Adam and Eve's cells. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know how many eggs a girl is born with? Millions. By the time they're ready to have kids, how many are left? Hundreds of thousands. Why? What if sin would have never gotten in the way? Okay, all right. You didn't know it was going to be science day. All right. So then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received the 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. How many know that's a bad idea? After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Thankfully, it wasn't all things. It was a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received the 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, bless your little heart. That doesn't bother me a bit, because I'm a God of grace and mercy, and I'll just let you do whatever you want. No, wrong version. Wrong version. He said what? He said, you, ooh, that's strong words, isn't it? You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Boy, that doesn't sound like, you know, a very nice person. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So last week what we did, and I'm breaking this down into 3 areas, spirit, soul, and body. So last week we began looking at the giftings that we have. And we talked about our natural gifting. We looked at the fact that we were made in the image and likeness of God in Genesis 1, verse 26 through 31. We also looked at the fact, and according to Psalm 139, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully means reverently or in awe. And then wonderfully simply means you are set apart. So everyone in here is an individual set apart to the call of God that he has placed upon you based on what? The gifting that has been given to you and the ability. We also heard from the Spirit of the Lord last week by a word of knowledge that some of you have talked bad about your body and you shouldn't have. Somebody say amen. People say, well, I don't like this about me and I don't like that. Well, change what you can and bless what you can't change. That's a pretty good word, huh? Yeah. Change what you can. Well, I don't look like so-and-so. Well, do what you can with what you got and believe God. Amen? Because that's faith. The enemy would like you to go, it's not fair. I'm not likely to fear it. And you're hurting your flesh when you do that. Amen? So, be aware of that. Don't yield to that. Because, say it with me, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Say it with me. I love me. Ooh, that's so self-centered. You are to love your neighbor as you love your... I love me. I am not one. I mean, I look at you know, other people and go, that'd be cool to be built like that. That'd be cool to be that tall. But I never think, I wish I was them. I do not. I like me. I'm happy with me. I am. You may not like, I love me. Why? Because I'm made in God's image and likeness. There's not another one like me. You need to think that way about you. You'll love others better if you do. Amen. Okay. We don't preach the gospel of insecurity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. What are we supposed to do with our bodies? We're to possess our bodies. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 says, finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more, that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. Verse number 2 says, for you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. What were they given? They were given commandments. Then he goes on to say this in verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Verse 4, that each of you should know how to what? Possess his own vessel in what? Sanctification and honor. Your body has been given to you. It's a gift to you, and you are to possess it. Do you see that? You're to possess your body. It is your body. God gave it to you. Paul put it this way. Know you not that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are the temple. You need to walk around going, I'm a temple. I house a God. You think you're God? No, I don't think that. I think I house him. Why? He made me. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are to possess your vessel. I like that word, vessel. Because it gives good indication of the fact that you're not the vessel. You're not. It's just a tent that you're living in, as Peter said. He said, this is your place. This is your house while you're here on earth. How many have noticed that people without bodies are not around? Hallelujah. Revelation. Yeah. All the people that were on the planet whose bodies died are not here anymore. They went up or they went down. People think, oh, they wander around in the spirit. Nope. They go up or they go down. They don't wander around. Well, I know. I saw The Form and I watched A Haunted House and Unsolved Mysteries. And yeah, and you saw familiar spirits. You didn't see the person. Amen. You should have rebuked it in Jesus' name. Instead of taking, you know, some sort of tracker to see if it's there. Those shows amuse me. Okay. Possess means to own, watch this, to gain the mastery over. You are to gain the mastery over your flesh. Isn't that good? Gain the mastery. Gain the mastery. Now, what most people think of in terms of this is they think of, I can't sin. And there is a truth there. You don't want to let your flesh rule you. And we'll look at that here in just a minute. But gaining the mastery over your flesh is part of the spiritual growth process that allows the resurrection within you to come through your flesh. Now, I need to say this again because I can tell you're thinking. Paul said this. There are three things about Scripture, and we know this in 1 Thessalonians. He said, you're a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. All three are to be impacted and affected by the resurrection of Christ. So, when you were born again, we know from 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God. That's your spirit man that was born again. Once you're born again, as Brother Hagin used to say to us, your natural mind, your mind and or your soul and your natural body did not change. If you were bald before you got saved, you're bald after you get saved. Amen. If you were 25 when you got saved, physically, you're 25 after you get saved, physically. That didn't change, but there are two specific areas that need to be dealt with consistently. Your spirit needs to be fed, your mind needs to be renewed, and your body needs to be mastered. Or, as Paul put it, crucified. But people don't like that. That sounds too deathy. So he tried a different word. Possess your vessel. Paul said, I die what? On Sunday. I crucify my flesh on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. The rest of the week, I'm a total mess. I just flesh out all over the place. Oh, thank you, Lord, for laughter. No, what did he say? He said, I crucify my body. He's in Romans 12, he said, I present my body as a slave, as an act of worship, as a slave to the Father, to the resurrection within me. See, your body, just like Paul's body, just like Jesus' body, just like Peter's body, is designed to have the anointing of heaven flow through it. You are to lay hands on the sick and they shall. But if you don't possess your body can run into sexual sin if you let it lead you. Man or woman, young or old, I don't care what level you're at right now. If you let it, it will. It doesn't matter. You know, it's interesting because you look at statistics on some of these things, and this is specifically what Paul's talking about here. He's saying, look, don't let your body master you. You master your body. If you let your body lead you, it hinders the anointing coming through you. Okay? So, which includes what? It includes your joy level, your peace level, your relaxation level. It includes all the fruit of the Spirit level as far as manifestation in your natural. Why? Because if your flesh is mastering you and you're not mastering your flesh, what's manifesting? Flesh. Amen? Now, we're going to look at this, and it's just wonderful. It's a good truth. How many know knowing the truth will set you free? So the will of God is your sanctification. He says in verse 5, he says, not in passionate lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Verse 6, he says that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. So what did Paul say? In advance, he said, look, guys, stay out of sexual sin in the church. Right? That's what that's talking about, right? He's talking about not defrauding people in the church. Notice, though, who is the avenger of the one who does? It's the Lord is the avenger. Do you want to know what the word avenger means? I don't know how many times I've read that verse. You know, because we live in a day today where it's, you can do whatever you want, it doesn't matter, you're under grace. Well, I'm pretty sure the guy who wrote about grace the most wrote this verse. And he said, the Lord is the avenger. What does that mean? The word avenger means carrying justice out, or a punisher. It means exacting penalty. It is that which proceeds from justice to vindicate a person's right. What did Paul say? He said, don't take on revenge yourself, but leave it where? In the Lord's hands. The Lord will do everything he possibly can, and then he'll go, I'm the Avenger, here I come. I know, you guys just thought it was a movie, The Avengers. It's a reality. Amen? So you want to stay out of sexual sin, all of it. You want to stay out of fleshiness. For God did not call us to what? Uncleanness, but in holiness. Verse 8, therefore he who rejects this does not reject man, but who? Who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Do you love this or what? I love this verse. This verse unravels weird doctrines that are in the church today. It just unravels it. People go, I'll do whatever I want, live any way I want, I'm under grace. And Paul's going, if you reject my words, you don't reject me. Paul's like, and we do this. I did this last week. I said, look, I'm only 42. I didn't write the Bible. If I'm reading and declaring the Bible to you, it's inside of context. It has not been misrepresented. It follows the path and the demonstration that Jesus gave us in truth. And you hear it and reject it. I agree with Paul. You don't reject me. You reject God. That's a serious thing. And people will miss life-changing truth over being bored. Or not being able to possess their vessel. What do you mean by that, possess their vessel? They can't sit still for very long. And we have a generation that placates to not sitting still very long. Well, we just want to be entertained a lot. In fact, we have so much entertainment, it's right on your phone. I'm not against you looking at your Bible on your phone, but Facebook is there, Instagram is there, Twitter's there. Google's there. Do you know where Google? I never accidentally open my Facebook app when I'm in church. And I'm looking up the verses here. Some of you might need to possess your vessel differently. Go ahead and preach, Sean. Believe it will. Thank you. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Isn't that good? The Passion Translation says, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be His sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights His heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. The Amplified says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. See, when you give God all your body, then all of God gets in your body. Paul put it this way in Ephesians chapter 3. He said, I pray that you understand the love of God. I want you to understand this angle and that angle, the up, the down, the left, and the right, all of it. And he said, the reason why is because I want you to be a vessel that is completely packed with God. The design is not that the ministers only be full of God. See, your tribulation will be a lot less suffering when you're full of God in the middle of it. Your suffering is less suffering when you have God. See, here's the thing. This is the beauty of what Jesus did. Even though you may share a cross with Him, you'll never be abandoned like He was. You'll never look up to heaven and go, Father, why have you what? Because He was forsaken, you don't have to be forsaken. So even in the midst of what may seem like a hard, hard trial, if you go ahead and just give yourself over to the Father and just give your body over and yield your body to who He is, He'll get you through in grand style and keep your body in check as you go. Amen? It's so good. Romans chapter 6, verse number 15. What then, the question? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? This verse needs to be taught. Paul says, certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present your vessels, slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were a slave of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became what? Slaves of righteousness. Do you know that when you were born again, you were liberated from sin? That word set free means liberated. You've been liberated from sin and you've become a what? A slave of righteousness. But specifically, what is Paul talking about? He's saying, don't let your flesh control you. You know, many people say, well, this is talking about the law, that we're not supposed to do the works of the law. Yes, it is, but it's also talking about the desires and deeds of the flesh. Okay, let's read a little bit further and we'll see it. We'll see how much more we can take. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, verse 17, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Verse 19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your what? Members as slaves of uncleanness and of what? Lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. Come on. That should be a revelation to people right there. If I act lawless, I'm going to get more lawless. So now, he says, present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. How many know there are deeds that your flesh can act on that are shameful? And they should be shaming. People say, we're under grace, we don't deserve any shame. If you act a certain way, it's shameful. It doesn't mean that God isn't love. It doesn't mean that there isn't forgiveness. It doesn't mean that there isn't opportunity for repentance. But we live in a society today that doesn't want to take responsibility for anything. It's not my fault. Whose fault is it? Well, you know, my ancestors. It's their fault. Actually, it's not even my fault or my ancestors' fault. It's your ancestors' fault. Why? Because your ancestors took over my ancestors. And now I'm stuck. That's what the Bible says. He who the Son sets free is in bondage to what their ancestors did years ago and can never get out of it. But see, they spin it and it sounds good. Well, we're going to make every generation past pay for what they did wrong out of your pocket today. Oh, that's fair. Come on, let's take responsibility for ourselves. Guys, many times it isn't I rebuke the devil. It is, boy, that was dumb of me. I need to repent. I didn't possess my vessel like I should have. When you think about possessing your vessel, let me say it like this. And we need to think about it this way. And I mean this with all sincerity. Every person in this room has been mistreated. Everyone. Including me. Everyone has been mistreated. If we run around trying to change everybody else so that our world can be perfect, we will drive ourselves nuts. Take responsibility for what we have done ourselves. Forgive those who wronged us and grow. Your freedom, you will experience freedom when you are unoffendable, when you are not that you can't be hurt in the sense of things can come against you and they hurt your feelings. Every human, you'd be non-human if that wasn't the case. That would be weird. We were not preaching the doctrine of Spock from Star Trek. You understand what I mean? You know, live long and prosper, that guy, you know? Yeah. We're not teaching we're emotionless, humanless, you know, none of that stuff. But our emotions are not God, and they must be managed by the Holy Spirit within us. They have to be. If we're going to function at the level that God has designed us to function at, they have to be at that level to where we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct us. We must guard our minds, guard our thoughts, guard ourselves, and possess our vessels in order to be able to invest them into kingdom work. If you want a harvest of resurrection power in you, I mean, people think about this. They'll come to a service, which they should. They come to a service, they go, I need prayer for healing. And they've been seeking prayer for healing for years for the same thing. Why don't you take the body that God's given you and start praying for somebody else to be healed? Right? Sow a seed repay. And don't let the enemy discourage you. Don't let what you see or don't see discourage you. Stay steady in your faith in the Lord, and He'll continue to increase, mature, and grow you to where you're walking with the Lord, and you are walking in such a place. I'll just make this statement, and it's gonna curl your hair if you have any. But I'll just make this statement to you. Brother Hagin used to say this to us. He'd go along 5, 6, 7 years at a time and not even know he had a body. Oh, I knew it would curl it. Why? Well, he was a monk. He lived up in the mountains. He meditated himself right out of existence. No, he lived so much in the Spirit and out of the resurrection within, and developed his relationship with the Lord. It's not that he didn't know he had a body. It's his body didn't give him any fits. Why? Because he possessed it. See, the design is that we have such mastery over our flesh that martyrdom isn't even an issue. Is there any greater love? Do you see that? We are to possess you, not the preacher. You have the ability within you to walk as your master walked. Not me. I mean, I do too. But not the preachers, not your favorite writer, not the one who has more number ones on the New York Times bestseller list for Christian books than anybody else. Not any of them. Not the ones who have massive mega ministries that reach billions all over. Nope, not them. Not them. I mean them as well. But I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you have within you what Peter declared the seed of Christ. Dominate the flesh. Renew the mind, release the Holy Ghost. Your life will become so much better. Amen? And stand with me if you would. We need to declare this. We just need to make a declaration as we go. I'm so thankful for the Word. During worship, I could just let the service keep going that way and just flow with the Spirit of God, flow in words and all words. I love that too. And we'll do that. And more and more, I know, as the Lord continues to increase us. But even the teaching, the Word can just, it gets in you. And you can take it and it's a sword. You can war with it. You know, you can leave here, go to the restaurant or wherever you're going and go, the resurrection lives in me. The resurrection just sat down to eat. Come on. Why? Because Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's in you. He's in you. You can release Him. You can go into all your world and lay hands on the sick. And cast out. Why? He's in you. You can possess your vessel. Amen? So let's say it. Say, Father God, I'm open. I see in your word that I'm to possess my vessel that you've given me. This talent, this physical body, it's your vessel. Fill it up. Overflow through my pores, through my clothes, as I saw you do. Lord Jesus, I yield to you. I purpose not to allow external circumstances, other people, sinful desires to lead me away cause me to stop, cause me to backslide away from this truth. But as I've heard it, I'll apply it and not quit until I go be with you. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. Father, we thank you that you're increasing our understanding, that you're giving us wisdom that is beyond what this world has, that has existed before time, and that as we walk it out, Lord, we'll continue to hear testimony after testimony of your goodness. We thank you for it. We feed on it. We meditate on it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. If you're here today and you need prayer, please come. We will pray for you. God bless you guys. Have a great week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.